Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
We all may be enjoying this heat wave, but with skin cancer cases apparently about to treble in the next 20 years, are we doing enough to protect ourselves? Joining me to discuss this is Dr. Bláthain Moriarty, consultant dermatologist and skin cancer survivor, Kenneth Giles. Good afternoon to you both, Bláthain and Kenneth. Bláthain, if I could start with you, how common is skin cancer in Ireland?
So skin cancer is the most common cancer in Ireland. So it accounts for 29% of all cancers diagnosed in Ireland every year. So last year that was 13,000 new skin cancers. So
right.
Pretty frequent.
And why would it be trebling? That seems like a huge increase.
So the projections done by the NCRI about 5 or 6 years ago suggested that skin cancers would travel from then to about 2040, and we seem to be moving at the high end of the curve. And I suppose there's a few reasons. You know, the genetic profile in Ireland is such that we, 3/4 of us carry a mutation that make us very fair and allow us to and don't allow us to screen out the mutations that we get from being exposed to UV very efficiently. So it makes us very good at generating skin cancer. The other thing is that, you know, our recent generations, we've had the means to travel and to go sunnier places. So traditionally, skin cancer was associated with just with outdoor occupation. Of course, that's a very big risk factor. But in addition to outdoor occupation, farmers and fishermen, which were traditional Irish work, of course, you know, we've now had the means to travel to much sunnier places with our genetic profile and acquire a lot more sun than we would traditionally have had. And then I suppose another thing is that we haven't had the same awareness of skin cancer in Ireland that perhaps other countries have had. So if the Australians in 1981 brought in what's very famous now, their slip, slap, slap campaign. So you'll know that kids in Australia are not allowed outdoors without being properly covered up. And we know that those adults who were children from the 80s in Victoria have a much, much lower rate of skin cancer. So this clearly works.
Right.
And this is a campaign that has the Ireland to start in Ireland just here in the last couple of years. So we're slightly behind the party in terms of protecting ourselves from UV.
Okay. So they're very big numbers. If you're looking at 13,000 at the moment, you're talking about cases going to something like 39,000. That's a very scary figure.
It's a lot. Well, of course, I mean, you know, there's been some very articulate speakers on speaking to this topic over recent months, particularly with backlogs from COVID. So we know that all cancers are increasing for a number of reasons. We're living longer, possible, you know, exposures. But skin cancer is definitely one of those that is increasing very rapidly. Most skin cancers are, about 85% of skin cancers are induced by UV irradiation. But the good news about skin cancer is that we know that UV protection, or protecting ourselves from UV, can prevent most of these cancers. So it doesn't have to treble.
Okay. Right. I'll just kind of nip out for a moment and get more UV protection on, if that's all right. Kenneth, to go to you, just before you tell me your diagnosis, what was your story? Would you be somebody, Kenneth, who had took a bit of sun, was out in the sun a lot?
No more than any other kind of early 20s year old. Do you know what I mean? I was diagnosed when I was 25. So that was about 5 years ago now, but in 2015. And I wouldn't have said that I would overly kind of be out in the sun. I'd go obviously on the annual kind of summer holiday or whatever, kind of normal outdoor sports or whatever that was kind of going on. But I wouldn't have been constantly getting burnt, do you know what I mean? But then on the other hand, I probably wasn't aware of wearing SPF or wearing kind of factor all the time. Obviously, I'd slap a bit on, but I'd probably be putting on a lot lower number than I should have been. And that kind of resulted me then in 2015 getting what I thought was a pimple under my eye. And when I went to the GP, the pimple had been there for maybe 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
And the GP kind of said, what's that under your eye? And I said, I think it's just the pimple. And she actually said, I think we should get it looked at. So I went, got a biopsy done on that, and it did come back as a BCC, which is a form of skin cancer. So kind of I got it scraped out, and about 6 months later, it actually redeveloped and it came back again in the same place. So luckily now, I mean, about kind of within 2-3 years, I had a couple of operations on the eye. Obviously, the first time it didn't remove at all and it kind of grew back. So we had to go in deeper and stuff like that to get the root of it and stuff out. And luckily, since then, I've been okay. But nice. I mean, up now, I'm kind of factor 50, even when it's kind of dull outside, you know what I mean? And it's just I've kind of now integrated into it my own routine, like in moisturizers, or even if I'm going out and I'm wearing a T-shirt and it might be slightly warm out, even I'm kind of slapping on the sun cream just to be safe, do you know what I mean? Because at 25, I never would have thought that this would kind of come knocking on my door. My granddad actually had his ear taken away when I was younger, and I always kind of looked at it as, oh yeah, granddad without the ear or whatever, but it was actually skin cancer that caused that.
Wow.
And even that my grandfather had it, I kind of still didn't take as much notice to. And I think, as Blaine said, we don't really take enough notice of what our skin is, what's happening to our skin, because we kind of think of ourselves, well, we're in Ireland, sure, it's not as good weather as other places and stuff like that. When we go on holidays, we throw on the sun cream, but maybe when we're back in our own country, we don't. And that's what the doctor, my own consultant, said, like, we normally wouldn't see this type of skin cancer in someone under 50.
Okay.
And for me, that was like a bit of a wow moment, that like I had a part of the skin, a disease that had got my piece of my skin that was like normally seen in somebody like twice my age.
Right.
That's, so,
did you get a fright when you heard the cancer word used? Did you get a scare?
To be honest, I actually went by myself because I kind of thought, oh, sure, it's a pimple, there's nothing much to it. And I remember the doctor saying it to me and saying, no, it has come back, it's a BCC, it's a form of skin cancer. And I kind of went, oh, okay, yeah. So it can be just sorted. And I think it wasn't until maybe a few days later then, when I was talking to my own mum and dad, and they were kind of going, look, you're going to need to look after yourself and stuff like that. That kind of then hit me.
Right.
It was a few days later that you kind of sit back and realize, actually, I've been damaging my skin.
Yeah.
I've been kind of doing stuff that was so reckless, but I didn't realize, do you know what I mean? And now I'm hypersensitive to the situation.
Right, understandably. Kind of doing, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm doing anything I can to kind of get the word out there, because I teach a lot of children dancing and stuff like that, and at the moment we're outdoors.
Yeah.
So it's kind of every message I'm sending out, it's like sunscreen, wear your hat, water, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Just to get the word across, because I don't think we pay enough attention to actually what our skin is.
Blaine, can I ask you again, because very often it seems in stories like this that somebody else seems to notice an issue going on with your skin. Should people be examining their skin, looking at their skin, or is that beyond us? Is that something where you need to go and see a dermatologist or a doctor, or maybe once a year?
No, but this is a very good point. So actually having an awareness of what is on your skin and what was not previously on your skin is really important. And this is a really, really good point raised as well by Kenneth, and I'm really grateful to him that patients sharing stories like this is so useful. And so we know that statistically skin cancers are most likely to be detected by the patients themselves or by their partner. And the next most likely person to detect them is the patient's own GP. And it is either the patient, the partner, or the GP who tends to prompt the referral. So yes, I would say it's really important to know what's on your skin. And, you know, often having an image, say, even if you have a smartphone, to have photographs of your limbs, your trunk, on your own phone, you know, there's no need to go to any huge expense. And just be aware of what's there. Have a check every 3 to 6 months. And if something wasn't there before, flag it for your GP's attention, because there's a very highly functioning network of skin cancer clinics, and we have an excellent skin cancer set up here in Vincent's for rapid access, because early detection and rapid treatment is the most important, is so important for patients who are diagnosed.
Right. I'm kind of wondering now, because our awareness of this has really grown over the years. And I can remember when I was younger, the idea of a sun factor protection thing might have been two or four people would talk about it. So, God, if you had factor eight on, they'd say you had a swimsuit on. So there may be people who've already done the damage to their skin, and maybe 20 years ago or 30 years when they were growing up. So have they a heightened risk?
So, well, they do. No, I mean, I suppose you raise a really important point. And I liken it a bit to drink driving. So in the 80s, it was perfectly normal to go to the pub and have 3 pints and drive home. And that was what everybody did. And so I think the idea that, we stigmatize patients or we feel bad because of the sun we've had in the past, that's not helpful to anybody. So it's very interesting. So young adults and teenagers and children don't have in Ireland have experienced far less sunburn than those of us who were thrown out into the garden with well-intentioned parents putting on factors 8 and 12, etc. There's a lot of awareness to be increased. So, for example, it was really only when I began to train in dermatology that I realised that having a tan is not protective. So you don't need to sunburn to pick up these mutations. Mm. But when you expose your sun to UV light, you form these little dimers form, and your skin surveillance system comes along and should be able to splice out these little mutations in your skin. But this happens at what we call pre-erythemal doses. So pre-erythemal means before you go red. So if you're tanning, you form these before you tan or before you burn. And so it's really important, particularly in kids, to protect them from sun. And the very best way to do that is with clothing or shade, clothing and shade. And now the next best then is a sunscreen, and there are now far better sunscreens available than there would have been when you and I were kids.
Yeah, I think factor 50 seems to be the general go-to one. And wear it all the time, I think, really is the bottom line. I'm with you, Kenneth. I wear factor 50 all the time. Kenneth, thank you very much for joining us. Kenneth Giles there, skin cancer survivor, and Dr. Ibláthán Moriarty, consultant, dermatologist and skin expert as well. Thanks very much for that. Text to 53106. I'll tell you how you can get your hands on €30,000 after this.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.